Where does personal choice end and public harm begin? What does that line look like? When are we crossing that line? Joining us on the line, Dr. Sadi Karim, the Chief Operating Officer for the Western Cape Department of Health in the Western Cape. Dr. Karim, assalamu alaikum. Shukran so much for your time.
Wa alaikum salam and good morning.
Where does that line start? Or where does, what is that line between personal choice and public harm?
It's a very difficult space, first of all. So, I mean, that's a good topic to pick up on. And, you know, from a health perspective, we've been having these conversations for a long time already. So not just in the smoking context, but, for example, if you take TB treatment, you know, especially multi-drug-resistant TB. So there are other contexts in which we can learn from and apply those lessons to the smoking legislation and the proposed additional restrictions on smoking. So my own sense would be, and I mean from a public health perspective, you know, smoking, for example, we know, for example, it's illegal, first of all, in many places already, indoor malls, offices, etc., and quite a few outdoor places. The World Health Organization is trying to move countries towards 100% smoke-free public spaces. Right? And they've also considered the issue of the fine line between personal choice and public harm. And from a health perspective, you know, the moment there is public harm, that, in my view, trumps the personal choice aspect of it. And I mean, obviously, you can get a legal opinion on it as well. But I mean, rights aren't absolute from my understanding of the legal position. So they are relative, right? So you have a right for freedom of choice, but that's not an absolute right. You've got to weigh in this case, public harm, or sometimes benefit, but usually public harm. And in my view, that is a higher order right that then trumps your right of personal choice. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also healthy, of course. Look, we know that secondhand smoke impacts particularly everybody. But, you know, studies have been done to show that secondhand smoke impacts children significantly. About 29 to 30% of children are exposed to secondhand smoke at home, in their homes, or in people's homes. And secondhand smoke, we know, has toxic compounds. We know nicotine, for example, is deposited on surfaces. It's deposited in dust. The air quality inside a car, for example, is very similar to the air quality in smoky pubs. And secondhand smoke causes harm. Exposure to that for children increases the risk of low birth weights, something we call sudden infant death syndrome, for example, ear infections, poor lung development, etc.
Mm-hmm. What does this translate into from what we see in our public health facilities then? What are the sort of issues, health-related issues, that children in particular are presenting with within health facilities across the Western Cape?
Yeah, so we often see children that come in, and like I said, low birth weight is a big factor. And yes, there are other factors that impact low birth weight, like malnutrition, of course. But smoking contributes to low birth weight development in children, and that itself sets off a whole chain of health challenges that children will have as they grow up and as they grow into youths and eventually into adulthood. So we would see children coming in with repeat ear infections, lung development problems, you know, in other words, things like asthma and wheeziness. You know, I mean, most people would just probably relate to wheeziness. Children with wheezy chests, we find, often come from exposure to smoky environments. So all of that contributes, unfortunately, in a very harmful way to children and children's development. And of course, adults as well. But I mean, I understand the focus particularly on children.
Yeah. From that perspective, then, let's also then speak about the knock-on impact that it has on these facilities. We know, of course, that for anyone that has had young children during particularly the winter months, we do see an uptick in the prevalence of these sorts of you know, diseases and illnesses. And at times people go, why are we linking the one to the other on the one hand, and on the flip side also saying things like, but hang on, you're making such a big issue about smoking, but dacha has just become legal, for example, and so people are smoking dacha everywhere. Why are we not putting a focus on that?
Equally, it should be, and that's quite right. I mean, we can speak from an impact perspective on people's health, on children's development, etc. So we can explain to people what the impact is of smoking, what the impact is on you as an individual, what the impact is on the environment, and therefore people breathing that in through secondhand smoke. And we do see an uptick in the winter months, and obviously it's related. It's multifactorial, things like wheeziness and asthma, as I've said, low birth weight, all of those issues we understand are multifactorial, but there is a very clear and there has been documented evidence of a correlation between smoking and diseases like lung cancer, for example. And I remember, as a public health person years ago, when we looked at the tobacco products, at that time when it was still a bill, the Tobacco Products Control Amendment Act, it was still a bill before that, looked at the evidence worldwide of the correlation between smoking and harmful illnesses, not just only in lung development or cancer, but many other systems of the body. And I understand, and initially, Ben, I'm talking many years ago though, the tobacco industry had tried to make an argument that it's there's no direct correlation. But I mean, these are documented evidence, and that's why the WHO, the World Health Organization, is also moving towards 100% smoke-free public spaces.
Hmm. How do we take this conversation forward, Dr. Karim? How do we, I guess, within the context of, yes, public health and personal choice and that particular, that fine line that we tried to define earlier, but the point is, how do we continue having these conversations in the right way? Because, I mean, to be honest and to be fair, we are rubbing a couple of smokers up the wrong way as they make their way through traffic this morning.
I understand that, and I completely understand that people are focusing on their personal right of choice. But I would ask, we know that it's actually illegal to smoke in a car with children under 12. But I would put it to logical thinking and responsible people. I would say, let's consider the impact that your smoking is having on those around you before you light up. And I would appeal that people just think about that secondhand smoke, particularly the impact on children, but obviously adults are equally exposed to secondhand smoke. And we know, like I said, there is a correlation between smoking and many illnesses such as asthma, wheezing, eventually lung cancer, of course. But I mean, we know from a medical perspective that there is that correlation. So my appeal would be, consider those around you before you light up.